No, those who know me, that's would be a very, very bad thing. But it's great to be able to share with you tonight and have the opportunity to share, especially this time of year. I know it's coming into Christmas, things are getting busier. I've got one child that's finished school, the other one is about to finish school, so things are finishing up. I know at work can be rush, 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 trying to get everything done before Christmas. Don't go to Southland because it's a nightmare there. It's just people are going getting last-minute gifts. You've got all these social things that are coming up as well when people just want to catch you before they go on break, or people you've never seen for the whole year just all of a sudden want to catch up in the next couple of weeks. So thank you for taking time out and coming to worship tonight and coming to hear the message. You may also notice this time of year that people in people's vocabulary, words start to come into their vocabulary that you might hear more often. The same things like saying that I'm at my wit's end. Or I can see the finish line in sight. Maybe they're saying, I've got nothing left in the tank, or I'm running on fumes just as we come in to this time of year. Others may say, I'm hanging on by a thread, whether that's emotionally, relationally, financially, that's what they're thinking or feeling. Or they can feel things slipping through their fingers, getting out of control. I really feel if that's you, or if you're in a place where you're feeling like that, that tonight is a night for you, that God's given me a message to encourage you, but also to challenge you to stand firm in Him. Stand firm in Him. Because James 1 actually says that we are to consider it a pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. I want to dispel the myth out there that when you become a Christian, life is going to be great. It is, because God will allow you to overcome things, but it doesn't mean that we're not going to face trials. It doesn't mean that we're going to have it easy. But we have to persevere through this. And that's where we engage our faith. So tonight, I want you to perhaps there's something going on in your life. You're going through a trial. And this is the time we're going to engage our faith or re-engage our faith in this situation or circumstance. Because we need to understand that the trial may be for you, but it might not be all about you. Preparing you for preparing future work that you're going to do for God to help someone else to stand firm. I know as next year we're getting ready for our vision, our theme. And if you haven't got one, then pick up one of our initiatives cards. But our scripture for next year is, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us go and do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. So you might be going through something right now that you're going to be able to share and help someone else through, help them stand firm. So let's put our faith back in God. And verse 5 says, but if any of you lack any wisdom in this trial, then you should ask God. Funny how we go there last, hey? But you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. I know that in my life, I've grown the most when I've gone through trials. My character has developed, and that's what trials do. They develop our character. They give us a strength. But the thing I've also noticed is when it comes to trials, they're all individual. I've gone through different things to what you've gone through, and there is no map. There is no instruction. But we do have a still, quiet voice that can whisper to us. There is someone who will give us wisdom when we ask. So I'm believing tonight that as you are thinking about whatever your trial or whatever your circumstance is, that God is going to give you the wisdom you need. He's going to give you the courage to step out in faith and to stand firm in Him. We ready? Yeah. So I want to share with you how to stand firm and how to persevere through the story of David and Goliath. We all know it. You've heard it. Even if you're not from church background, you probably heard, you hear things in law, it's a David versus Goliath type battle. But David overcame Goliath because he had learned to persevere. He'd learned to stand firm in God and not in the things of this world. David had to persevere through experiences with the lion and the bear, out on the mountainside all alone. He had to persevere through the opinions of his father and his brothers who looked down on him for doing such a demeaning job in their eyes, or one that wasn't very worthwhile. But because of this, he was able to overcome the Goliaths in his life. If you've got your Bibles, you can follow along on the screens. I'm really just going to read through 1 Samuel 17 and starting at verse 23 and just make comments as we go. And at the end of the message, we're going to all together, we're going to stand up and sing and worship together the song called The Stand. And we're going to put our faith back into God. But right now is a time of preparation. Right now is a time to get ourselves right with God. So verse 1 Samuel 17 and verse 23, it says this. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance. And David heard it. And whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear. Now, Goliath is stepping out, it says here, and shouting his usual defiance. So this is not the first time he's done this. In fact, it's probably been going on for about 40 days at this point. And I can imagine at the start, the very first day when both the armies lined up against each other, they'd have been feeling pretty confident. They would have been shouting going back from both sides of the field that day. The Israelites would have been standing there. They would have been knowing, I've been trained for this. I've got my brothers in arms beside me. The God of Israel is fighting for me. God is on my side. They'd have been feeling pretty confident. But then this Goliath, he steps out. And he yells out defiance and he challenges anyone to come and fight him. And on day one, it was a challenge. Perhaps it was a challenge on day two and day three. But as time went on and no one stepped forward, as their king didn't nominate someone to step forward and fight this Goliath, all of a sudden a little thing called doubt started creeping into their minds. They started to think about their mortality. They started to think about their families, think about home. To think about, if I do step out and I fail, then the whole of Israel is going to be put into slavery. They allowed Goliath to get into their head. They forgot that God was on their side. And then went from doubt and it moved into fear, where all they could see was Goliath. And fear is contagious and it has spread through the whole army. And here what we have, you come to this moment where the fear is spread through everybody. But it hasn't killed them. Fear doesn't kill. Fear will paralyze. Now, the Israelites had been saying, do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his family from taxes in Israel. If my son had been there, I'd have been throwing him out to fight Goliath just for that. But David asked the men standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? See, David didn't ask this nicely. He asked it with attitude. He's sitting, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? This disgrace. See, he had only just come in. This is day one for David. He hadn't been paralyzed by fear yet. It hadn't caught on to him. So he was still able to move. And God was stirring something up inside of him. And they repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, this is what will be done for the man who kills him. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, why have you come down here? And whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. How funny is it when a Goliath appears in our life and we see something comes against us, a circumstance, a situation, doesn't matter what it is. And we step out in faith. When something rises up and we go, we know we should be stepping out here, that the first thing the enemy wants to do is move us to fear and anxiety. And often he uses those that are close to us to put that doubt. So his brother was, I don't know what his reasons were, but he was already in fear. He'd gone through the doubt and he felt perhaps insecure. I've got to be a big brother. I should have gone out. Maybe I don't know what his reasons were for pulling David down, but he chose to do it. But David responds like this. Now what have I done? Said David. Can't I even speak? Then he turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter as the men answered him as before. See, the first thing David did here that we can learn in order to stand firm when you come and face a Goliath is realize that you have the volume control. Men, you're going to be happy. You've got the control in your hands. You can turn the volume down. In fact, here, you can even change the channel. David is obviously used to this type of encouragement from his brother. But instead of listening to his brother, he turned the volume down. He changed the channel and he went to the other men to find out what was going on. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul. So Saul sent for him. Saul is the king. It's quite an honor to be brought before the king. And David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Hasn't had much time to think. He just comes before the king and blurts out, "I'll go and fight him. Let no one lose heart." I love his confidence. I love how sure he was. And Saul replies, this is the king replying to him right now, "You're not able to go out against the Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man. And he has been a warrior from his youth." Again, fear and anxiety being spoken, trying to take over. But David, he stepped out, not in listening. He turns the king's voice down right now. He turns the king's voice down. He steps out and he says, "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. I struck it and rescued it from the sheep's mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair. I struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine.'" The second thing we can do to stand firm is remember that the Lord is our rescue. The Lord is our rescue. And some of you need to hear that. The Lord is your rescue. Not the things of this world. He might provide it through the things of this world, but the Lord is our rescue. So Saul said to David, because he's made this declaration, "Go, the Lord be with you. But in case he's not, here's my armor." Or perhaps he was worried about, Ock health and safety, and he thought, "Well, you better wear that." Or perhaps he didn't want to be represented by a shepherd boy that looked pretty disheveled. You need to have some better clothes on and send him out. Or perhaps he was saying, "The Lord be with you, but do it my way." We've had people in lives have said that when you've said, you speak something, and they go, "You can do it, but you've got to do it my way." So Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. And David fastened the sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. Then David did something that was important. He started walking around, he's trying this out, and he realizes, "I'm not used to this." So he takes a time out. If we want to learn to stand firm, then we need to learn to take more time outs in life, to ask God for that wisdom. See, in sport, a timeout is used to break the momentum of a game. Perhaps one team is starting to get ascendancy on the other, so the coach will ask for a timeout and he'll call his team over and he'll perhaps change a tactic. He might switch some players out and put some new players in. He might be there to encourage and try and keep the momentum going if they've got the momentum as well, that way just to give you a bit of a break. But often what happens is, in this time, it gives you time to think before you act. It can often lead to a change of attitude, a change of direction, or a total change of decision. But timeouts aren't only useful in sport, they're useful in life. I reckon it'd be good if we took more timeouts when you're in the middle of an argument. Do I really need to be having this argument? Am I responding in love? God, what would be the wise thing to say or do right here, right now? Perhaps you're presented with an opportunity that just seems too good to be true, or it's an opportunity at work. And sometimes we just jump in and we just say yes straight away without taking a time out to think, what else is going to go with this? How much more time is this going to take? Is this going to be good for my family? What would the responsibilities be? Perhaps you're at a party, or you're going to a party and you get to this party and it's like, well, how long am I going to stay here? Take a time out. If something's offered to me, am I going to take it? How many is too many? How am I going to get home? And obviously coming up, Christmas is here, then straight after Christmas we have the Boxing Day sales. Can I encourage you to take a time out? Ask yourself, do I really need this? I said that one for all the men in the room. I know there are many times in my life I wish that I had taken a time out, because it would have not only saved me time, it would have saved me money, pain and embarrassment. But right here, it's going to save David's life. He says, I cannot go in these because I'm not used to them. So he took them off. See, when David had tried on Saul's armor, he knew that it wasn't for him. He realized that it was heavy, cumbersome. He knew it's going to slow his movements down. It's going to bring him fatigue and make him vulnerable instead of protecting him. We need to realize when we're wearing the wrong armor, things that will slow us down, fatigue us, and we need to learn to be able to shed them, to be able to get rid of them. And so then David took his staff in hand and he chose 5 smooth stones. So you got to think about this. This day has been moving rapidly. It was not a normal day for David. David should have been out minding the sheep, but he wasn't. His father sent him with food to give to his brothers, and he rocks up to the battle lines and he sees these 2 armies opposing each other. Something he's probably never seen before. He hears the challenge, something rises inside of him. His brother has a crack at him. He gets brought before the king. He says something perhaps he hasn't thought all the way through, but really feels that he needs to do. And then the king says, you've got to go and use my armor. And in all of this, he's able to stop and take a time out and consult God for wisdom. Can you imagine having the king there? Think of someone really important in your life and they've asked you to do something, and then would you consult God in that moment? Or would you just go, yeah. But he took the time out. And I think the busier we get in life, the more we have to just stop and take a time out. As it said, he picked up 5 small stones from the stream. This wasn't just a thought. He actually walked away to ask God, what is it you want me to do? And God said, I want you to pick up some stones out of the stream. And so he walks along, just picks up some stones. I don't know what he's thinking at this time. He's probably going, rock. What are you giving me rocks for? I really hope Goliath hasn't got paper. I think he would have been going, he wouldn't have been saying that. I think he'd have been going, rock, sword, rock, sword, rock, sword. God, I'm just going to take the rocks. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. So hard not to doubt sometimes. I'm going to put him in my pocket. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. And he said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said, and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. But David was having none of that. He came straight back at him, and David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I'll give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by the sword or the spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. That's why he was able to just take those 5 stones. He believed the battle was the Lord's. He believed that whatever he had, those small 5 stones, was going to be enough. See, God, his burdens are light and they're easy. He's going to give you something in your hand when you ask for it that'll be light and easy, something you can use. We need to stop waiting around for the knife or the gun or the bazooka or the tank. We always look at other people and go, they've got better weapons than I have. But we know the end of the story. We know that eventually David got to that place where he was very skilled with a sword. He was really good with the shield. He led the armies of Israel. He defeated many, but it started off by being obedient with the little, small things. Now, I don't know what God is going to give you tonight, but as you are asking, I believe he is going to give, because it says that he gives freely. But stop looking for the big. Look for the small. What is it that he's got that's in your hand that you can carry? And it might only be one thing, but you know what? When you've got it and you throw it, because David only needed one stone, when it was slung, it slayed Goliath. I'm not going to let it go, don't worry. They're all ducking. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag, taking out the stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. You know what wisdom is when we ask for it? Wisdom is applied knowledge. David ran quickly. He didn't wait. He didn't let the mind games begin as it happened to the Israelite army. He said, God, you've given it to me, so I am going to use it. I am going to believe that it is going to be successful. And he held on. He held on. We had a lady in our church who's going through a health issue, and it really threw her for a six. And she didn't know what to do. But God gave her a word, and she held on to it. And that's all she did. She held on to that one word. And she held on right up to the day of surgery. And she had the surgery, but all was clear. Come on, this deserves a round of applause. Everything in her wanted to run. And sometimes everything in us wants us to run, but she held on trusting that God was going to come through. We need to do the same. Ephesians 6:10 to 15 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of this dark world, and against those the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand firm then. Tonight, if I ask the band if they come up, I'm going to ask you to stand firm. Sometimes we've done all we can, but it's needing to come and stand firm in God again. Before that happens, there's going to be a bit of a shedding moment though, where we get rid of Saul's armor, we put that down, And ask God forgiveness for trying to do things our way or taking on things that we probably shouldn't have taken. So I believe that God is going to do, is going to minister to people as we lay things down, as we sing this song. And then after that, we're going to have the prayer and the prophetic team here, and during as you feel need, because no army fights alone. There'll be people here who are willing to stand with you. And if you need some prayer, then they'll be here and you can come forward. But I'm believing tonight that some of you are going to stand firm for your marriage. You're going to get up, stand here and declare, I will not be defeated. My God will save. Some of you got health issues. You're going to stand up, I will not be defeated. My God is going to save. Might be finances. God will come through you. He is more than enough. He will provide. God's going to move us from fear and anxiety into faith as we hold the tension of what we can't see and stand firm in Him. We're putting the battle back into His hands. Now is not a time to give up, it's a time to give it over again. Just to prepare your hearts, as a prayer, I'm going to read over you Psalm 23, and then we're going to sing together. The Lord is our shepherd, and we lack nothing. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside quiet waters. He refreshes our soul. He guides us along the right paths for His namesake. Even though we walk through the darkest valley, we will fear no evil. For You are with us. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort us. You prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You anoint our head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely Your goodness and love will follow us all the days of our lives, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of not things not seen. As we stand, that is what we're believing. Things we cannot see, we're asking God to step in. So let us stand right now.